Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Happy Friday and welcome into the CHGO Bulls Podcast presented to you by PointsBet. Don't forget that promo code CHGO when signing up to live your bet life. Welcome in, Bulls fans. I'm Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _Peck. Across from me, my guy, Big Dave. He is on Twitter at Bow, B-A-W-L Sports. Bow. And filling in for our guy, Will the Goat Gottlieb, who is jetting down to Brazil today. Alexa. It is our friend and our former co-star on a little show called Bulls Outsiders. He is the one, the only. Give it up for John Sabine, ladies and gentlemen. On Twitter at jsabine214. Johnny, hi, buddy.
Thanks for having me. What's Will doing in Brazil?
He's going to visit his girlfriend again. This is his second trip to Brazil this year.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, because his girlfriend is really cool and has some cool like fellowship down in Brazil this year doing something in the field of maternal medicine. Is that right, Dave?
Yes, yeah, exactly what it is. So she's doing that, and then she's going to bring all the things that she's learned and done there back here to the States and continue to grow and be awesome. So, yeah.
Right. So just like you and your better half, another example of just a guy who sits around talking about basketball and is with someone much, much better and out of his league.
Women are better than men. I've been saying this since day one.
It's not a lie. That's the truth.
Unbelievable.
The 100% truth. Like, far.
I wish there was nuance. There's not.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, so before we get into some fun basketball talk, John, you have had a big couple of months.
Yes.
You have a baby boy, John Jr., JB, whatever we're calling him. Right. And how is it that your hair is still so perfectly coiffed right now? I can't imagine that you've gotten a whole lot of sleep over the last 8 weeks.
Haven't gotten a ton of sleep. He just came home. He was in the NICU for like 6 weeks. And so we're on week two right now. And babies are nuts, man. But he's really sweet. We're either calling him Jack, J-R, J-B. We don't know what we're calling him yet. But he also, what is he going to do? Tell us. But he's been great. And he's all excited about NBA offseason. He watched a lot of summer league games. And he was like, could have been better, could have been worse. But yeah, having a kid, so I'm on no sleep and I'm loving it. So thanks for having me.
If you end up calling him JR, then he's going to end up being a bad teammate who spoils a finals victory for Bronny Jr. someday. Well,
a good teammate, but spoils it. They love JR Smith. Earl? Earl Smith II?
I can't think of anyone other than J.R. Smith when I hear J.R. as like a first name slash nickname.
There's a you know, J.R. Ewing and then the announcer for the WWE, but those are like the big J.R.s right there, I think.
And then wasn't there a character named J.R. like Who Shot J.R.?
Yeah, J.R. Ewing. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. There is. And then there's also J.B. Bickerstaff, so you can have that as well.
I know. I do like J.B. and but J.R. is really, really, I didn't, on paper, I wasn't a big fan. Now I'm kind of like, I kind of like it.
Well, I think J.R. also works because the character on the show is Dallas.
Thank you.
So yeah, works right there.
But this kid's gonna be a Chicago fan through and through. I'll tell him Dallas sports and be like, "What? Why? I've never been there." And Uncle Maddie got him his very first clothes ever.
Has he worn his Bulls onesies from Uncle Matt yet?
Not yet. He's in the 2 percentile of weight.
Okay, so they're Bulls too big for him.
Which is like, why is it just say one?
Right.
Just round down. Who cares? Well,
and I think I got like the second size up from like newborn infant because I didn't want them to like have like grow out of them right away.
When they said 2%, I was like, what? He takes after his father. So we're thrilled. We're so excited. He's going to be a hoops head. He won't play baseball. That's my only rule. I'm excited.
So I do have this question though, John. Will you watch wrestling with him?
It's so interesting. So my wife said if we had a girl, they could watch wrestling because like it teaches them to stand up for themselves. But the last thing a boy needs is to resolve things with violence. And I kind of like that logic. So we'll probably lean.
That is lean hilarious.
She was like, it was like a feminist move if it was a woman. But if it was a guy, she was like, that's the last thing we need. I'm like, fair.
So now you're thrilled that you have your baby boy, but you're already thinking down the line a couple of years to be like, well, we also have to have a girl so I can keep watching wrestling.
Exactly.
Pass on that obsession and that hobby to a child of mine, but it has to be a girl.
Yeah. 100%. Because we don't really like it's just hoops in our family, really. Like we don't follow like, you know, Michigan State football or anything. So like our Saturdays are free. And so I think he's just gonna watch a ton of hoops, and I'm totally fine with that. Like I'm fine with that.
Well, okay. So has being a dad over the last couple of months taken away from the part of your brain that used to be reserved for just being a nut job NBA fan?
I will say this: it has in terms of watching games. Like watching summer league was hard, but like following off season stuff is really easy because he just sleeps and you just scroll. Like it's actually made it really great. Like it's like I feel like I'm never late on a Woj bomb because I'm just like sitting there holding him. And I'm like, what am I doing? Nothing. Yeah. This has been a really fun summer, like in terms of what's it called? Like just news.
Yeah.
The crew back together. That's so nice.
Yeah. What up, Larry?
We all gonna be here, but John, what's the coolest thing right now though about being a father?
Oh man, just like he grows so much. Like you just see changes. Like he's noticing of your voice and like he's seeing things better. Like we just took him outside on a walk down the street, like outside. Like he spent the first 6 weeks not even seeing a window,
yeah,
like not even knowing there was an outside. And he sleeps really well. And like, he just is like a nut. He's just a true, true nut. And he smiles when he sleeps. And that's really exciting. He's not old enough to smile awake, which is so funny to me.
Right.
But when they sleep, he's like all smiling. Like there's something there. But yeah.
Most adults just have a deadpan look or a frown when they're smiling because, you know, We have all grown up to learn that life is primarily shit, but kids are still young and innocent and happy most of the time.
Yeah, but they're discerning enough where they don't smile when they're awake to be like, I'm going to scream all day. And diapers are the worst. They're the worst.
What's the ratio right now of diapers done between you and Karen?
We do a good job, I think. I think she always is going to do more because like she's a better person, but like when I'm there, we have like roles. Like we tag team him. It's really good,
right?
A good tag team.
You're playing his own defense.
Yeah, yeah. We play real good zone on the kid. Like having another one, I'm like, I don't know how they do that. Like,
yeah,
he's such a. I can't wait for you guys to meet him. He's so cute,
dude. Yeah. I can't wait to meet him. I can't remember sometime recently you sent us a picture of the two of you. You were holding. He looks so much like you. It's scary.
I think he is. It was just that poor guy. Like, I was talking about like,
I mean, he doesn't have the hairdo yet, but his face is like Sabine.
He's got that beak and he's in the 2 percentile for weight. Which is so, I'm like, just, oh, that's so funny. Oh, thank you. Oh, hey, thank you guys. This is on no sleep.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Once again, it's amazing, oh my gosh.
It's Uncle Joey. That's that Uncle Joey right there.
Truly, man. Truly.
Are you just taking some like paternity leave right now from your job? Like
I started a new job. I'll tell you guys offline about this new job. That like I had a 9 a.m. meeting today. You know what I mean? So it's like if you ever have a kid, take leave. Just take it. Don't work. That would be my advice. But so I'm still doing work. I always have a couple of jobs, I have lead from one, working another right now. But yeah.
Okay. All right.
But I'll tell you guys about it.
He's cool enough to have more than one job.
Right now. Yeah. That's how you know you're cool when you just. I love working. Yeah. It's fun. That's what life's about. When you die, you'll be like, oh, I could have clocked more hours.
Yeah.
Like, I shouldn't have been with my son. I should have been working. Right.
Well, yeah, how else are you going to afford all of those diapers and a fresh pair of fingerless gloves? Like, your budget.
I got to get baby fingerless gloves.
Expanding. Oh my gosh. Does he have a pair of fingerless gloves yet?
Not yet, but we've got matching Luca shirts that we need to wear soon that my wife got us for Father's Day. It was really nice.
John, one of my favorite things that I saw when we were out in Vegas for Summer League was a woman wearing a shirt that said Halleluca. And it was a picture of Luca going like this with a halo above his head.
Cut Jason Gallagher a check. He needs to get royalties for that phrase. It's unbelievable.
So good.
He's having a good summer, guys.
He is hanging out with Shaq and doing all kinds of cool things. I was just reading about that today, man. How Shaq said basically Luca renting him out a villa.
Yeah.
Like a four-room villa just so he can come hang out with him, man. I didn't even know they were cool like that. Like, did this just something that just happened?
Isn't that so funny how of all the players, like Shaq, you know, you're like, what is Shaq gonna teach him? Like,
he just give him some post because Luca's a post up guy.
Maybe, so
he
give him
some post up moves and things like that. Definitely like not a free throw.
But they're both bully ball, I guess. That could be it. Like,
that's a good point.
Did you guys see Steph doing the ESPYs at all?
I saw a couple of clip highlights that made their way onto Twitter, and I love Steph. Okay. And I think he's funny in some of the commercials he does. Not a good MC. Like, I don't think he can carry a show like that.
Do you know what it is for me? I don't think yet he has fully perfected how to be the nice bully. And I think, like, Peyton Manning perfected it. Peyton Manning can be a nice bully. He does that incredibly well. Your boy Tom Brady does that really, really well. Being the nice guy bully. But Steph, it didn't work for me when I was just watching him do it and try to do it. I don't think it came off right. How'd you feel, John?
He's a nerd, right? He's the kid who he gets straight A's. Like, you know what I mean? Like, his dad played in the NBA. Like, I think that's what's hard. Like, he's everywhere now. I think, like, he did a good job of binding his time. And then there'll be five commercials in a row. There'll be a CarMax, a Subway, a crypto one, all in a row. Yeah. And I'm like, you can't say that you're the Boston Celtics daddy. That's not you. You know what I mean? Like, that's not you. You're like, oh, we have a quiz today. Like, you're not, it's just like, you're be a nerd. Be like over, do what Andy Samberg does in roast and just be like very positive and like silly, you know?
Yeah.
You're not roasty. Like, LeBron can do that, right? Like,
yes.
LeBron's, but like you can't host SNL. Like, Steph can't host SNL. Like,
you know, he's gonna though.
Man, he shouldn't, but he will. Like, but like, I just don't think he's that level of. He's just a Boy Scout, right? Like,
He's not have much not more a character,
no.
or acting chops than just being himself.
And he's great himself. Like, I just want to hear his like takes. Like, would Kobe have done that? I wonder. No, never. Mm.
No, I don't think Kobe was about the jokes. I can't see him
not
doing
really.
That.
Although that one commercial where he orders 81 olives when he's sitting with Jalen Rose is like
really good,
iconic.
It is. But see, that's right up the alley. He can be the bully. Right. Like, he can be. That,
he's self-aware. You know? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Gentlemen, because I am with the two of you, I am going to take a hard left here because I just saw some breaking news that got retweeted into my feed that you two will very much care about. This was 7 minutes ago. Vince McMahon, at 77, time for me to retire. Thank you, WWE Universe, then, now, forever, together. Hashtag WWE, hashtag thankful. Your thoughts.
Hashtag thankful.
Thankful.
Learn how to tweet. That's insane.
That's like an old person trying to use a hashtag.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Hashtag Chicago, hashtag CTA. Like, what do you that guy has, it's about to come. If he's retiring, it's about to go down.
Wasn't it like a month or so ago that he was getting forced out or something, but and like he left, but then he came back and people were wondering if it's because there was some dirt that was about to come out or something.
That's exactly why the allegation. Well, I shouldn't even say the allegation because he paid. You know what I'm saying? He actually paid money to make this stuff go away, and it came out on him, man. And I just think he knows it's about to hit the fan. and he got up out of there before he hit the fan. And I guess they had to wait till Triple H came back because, you know, John is having, because they announced today that Triple H is now back in charge as executive vice president. And then Vince is like, oh, he's back? Okay, great. All right, I'm out, guys. All right, have a good one. So
and they didn't wait a day. They didn't wait a day to announce it.
Right.
The crazy part. It's bad for this carnival man. He's a carnival guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the fact that he thinks that he's retiring, he was going to die. He's the guy who booked himself beating God. He beat God in the ring. He wrestled God and he won.
Yes, man. Yeah, that happened, man.
Crazy. That happened. What is it? These old rich guys, all these guys are bad. It's crazy in sports. Who's the best sports owner?
Best sports owner? Oh man,
Ballmer?
Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Guess I'll go with that. Yeah,
and he's fine, right? Like he's not like solving the water crisis or something, right?
No.
Like,
right.
He just opened up theaters.
Where's Cuban on that list, John? Because like people all seem to enjoy Cuban for his, you know, his kind of wacky personality and the fact that he's very outspoken and he's always around and he's always down to talk to the media or whoever. But then the Mavs recently went through their own organizational behavior that got swept under the rug kind of shit few years ago.
But I think that was all, like, it was never him. And it was like one guy in ticket sales who like was bad, right? Like it wasn't like a Sarver situation where like patient zero, it was like Cuban. And I think if Cuban wasn't a hands-on owner, it wouldn't have been an issue. Like any other owner would be like, I don't know about this ticket guy. Like I own the team. Why would I know about this? I hire people for this. So it was bad, but I think it's because I think he's probably a chaotic neutral. Like, I don't know if he's good or bad. I think he has that cost plus drugs thing that helps people, but like he doesn't give any money to politics. He's the only NBA owner who doesn't give a single dollar to anyone, which is interesting. Because I think he's going to run. I think they're all kind of, if you're kind of okay, you're good, right? The bar's so low. It's like the bar for popes. Like this pope, like talked to a woman once and they're like best pope ever. Like, like it's like, oh, that's all it takes to be the best pope ever. Like, okay, great. Right. Like, whoa, I would love if I had that graded on the same rubric.
Do you think Mark Cuban will ever give up being owner of the Dallas Mavericks, or is this just it for him?
I don't think he will. But who sells?
Does he have like sons, daughters, whoever to pass it on to?
He does. I think he's got daughters, and I think it's like also the bulk of his wealth. Like I think that the reason they don't sell any of these owners is because like you could never get fair market value. Like it's just too much money that always doubles and triples. And I don't know who's selling right now. It's like, you know, they're trying to force Jody Allen to sell the Blazers,
right?
And he's like, no. And it's like, in his will, he wanted it to sell, and she's like, no, thank you. And so, like, I just think it's just so much money. I don't know how you ever could.
I do know the Broncos football team just sold. I think just sold to the guy who one of the Walmarts, guy who was a part of Walmart. So
God bless it.
Yeah, man. So it's serious. But you're right. Like they usually don't.
Would the Reisdorfs ever? Like I feel like the Reisdorfs would never sell.
No.
No.
I mean, they often do in my dreams. The very, very nice dreams where I partner with some famous super wealthy Chicagoan to go in and buy the Bulls together. That's Barack, like Obama.
Michelle Obama.
Has to be Michelle.
That'd be such a baller move, Peck and Michelle Obama.
That is a baller move.
Yeah, that'd be so sweet.
He comes in with that. Who's saying no to that? Who's turning that down? I don't think that's
I'd watch a whole Netflix documentary on that.
Oh my Speaking God. Of man, it'd be worse than Steve Ballmer.
The women that are way out of the man's league. Me and Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle, let's do it. Like, you can't fist bump and high five Michelle in public, Matt. You can't do that.
No?
No, Matt, me throwing hats across the damn court from the sideline. You can't do that stuff, man. You gotta relax a little bit.
So I can't do that, but Biden can fist bump some Saudi oil tycoon or whatever.
Yes, the president of the United States can do that. Yes, he can, man. Yes.
You're saying I should run for president.
I would vote for you. I would vote for you.
I would too.
I honestly think you'd be good.
I would not vote for me. Are you kidding?
Well, that means that alone that makes me want to vote for you more.
Well, yeah, actually, I think Matt would be solid, man. I really do. Yeah. I think he'd be a solid president.
No nonsense.
You no nonsense. Hard, you're smart. That's right. I think I would,
But I would sign my first order of business would be signing an executive order that gave me, you know, ownership and control of the Chicago Bulls franchise.
And then he gives up being president.
And then I resign the presidency.
If you were GM, what would be your first move on this Bulls team?
That's a good question.
First move.
Right now with the team currently constructed. And like, if you don't say like trade Kobe White, because it's like, yeah, no kidding. Like we know that.
I know my first move. I know my very first move. I'm putting the Jordan statue back outside. That's the first thing I'm doing.
That's the answer. That's the answer I'm looking for. I'm
that.
Number one.
I keep AK in place and I tell AK, you need to go right now and convince the Joker to come here. I mean, contract be damned. Bring the Joker to Chicago.
Forgetting no offense, to sign Vooch, like 300 million.
But like, I thought that maybe one of the reasons that they liked Vooch is because it was sort of like he's not even like an 80% version of the Joker, but they thought he could maybe serve a similar role that the Joker has been serving for that Nuggets team. A big who can stretch the floor, also score inside and facilitate. And, you know, one of them is a quasi, you know, sort of like sub-tier all-star who does that. And one of them is the two-time reigning MVP.
It's insane. It's insane he's won two MVPs.
It's wild.
That's insane. He should not have won the second one, but still. It's insane that he won.
Who did you think was deserving of it this past season?
I don't know. There were just so many good people that like it wasn't a runaway, and you can't give it to a guy who's in the sixth seed, right? Like, I just think there was too many. You could give Tatum, like you could give it to Embiid, you could have given it to, I think Luka deserves more than him. He had a better record. He scored more, he everything but more rebounds. These are facts. Steph, I think Steph deserved it more.
I don't know, John. I think maybe Jaren Jackson Jr. deserved a little bit more than Luka did.
I mean, he's not even the best rookie in his class. I mean, also say that it's not just that stupid thing just because Luka, because that's like an all-time draft class now. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's it's like they got Trae Young, you got Bridges. Like, there's so many good players.
Yeah,
it is.
Brunson might be better.
Well, so speaking of that, we have to get your thoughts on the Jalen Brunson ordeal before we get into some Bulls thoughts.
I'm so sorry, Bulls fans.
Before we get to Brunson, Big Dave, tell our listeners about PointsBet, would you please?
I sure can, and I can do that right now. And
also tell John, in case John forgot, about all of the great deals that are available at PointsBet.
Oh, he's got to know this, man. He's a husband now, so gambling's a part of this. You know, you're a father. Gambling's a thing now.
I have kids that need to gamble more.
Yes, that's right. He's got to get this. And the best way to do that and support what we do here at CHGO is download that PointsBet app and use that code CHGO when you sign up. Because if you do that right now, you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. This is free money. And that's not all. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all that awesome web content. And you even get a free t-shirt of your choice from that CHGO locker. That's 2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It is your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. Don't just watch the game, y'all. Bet along with it live. Is your favorite team primed for a comeback? You see an edge in the game that you're watching. You think Luka's about to go for 85 points, or maybe he goes for 77. Actually, how cool would that be if that dude dropped 77 points in the game? That would be awesome. More live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs. That is faster live cash outs. Follow along with your bets the moment they hit and stay in the live action all game long. Download the PointsBet app right now and use that promo code CHGO. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Because once the game starts, you don't just bet. Matt Peck, tell them what you do.
You live your bet life, of course. Shout out to Rise of the Bond 3, who also had that answer in the comments. And there are others, JR and Stefan in the comments, who are very happy to see John back in the fold. People miss John.
I like what Larry Strickland said, college ain't going to pay for itself, John.
Yeah, right? Like my kids going to college. He'll be fighting the climate wars. He's not going to college.
PointsBet. All right, so John, what did you make of this crazy Jalen Brunson thing where, like, clearly there was tampering? Like, clearly. Yes. This was one of the most recent examples of, oh, everybody tampers all the time.
They hired his dad. They hired his dad like a week before. Like, it was like, they could have hired him last season. I'll give you, I have two takes. The ultimate take is this is a failure on the Mavericks. If you have, nobody leaves in free agency anymore. This is, the CBA is designed so you get something. Like, Lonzo was a sign and trade. DeMar was a sign and trade, right? I think Caruso wasn't, but like, these are rare. Where KD was a sign and trade. Like, there's no one just leaves. However, you can't be like, oh man, it's such a bummer what happened. I wanted to be in Dallas my whole career and then not even take the meeting. And they didn't even get, because they could have offered more money. They always could have, like, you know, and who knows what would have happened. Like, but they had, they, and to be like, no, cancel meeting. You can't be like, ah, so heartbreaking. And be like, no, you said no to them. That was your decision. And have fun being second banana to Donovan Mitchell now. Like, you wanted to be the man. Y'all are going to be so bad if you get Donovan Mitchell and you have to be the second banana to that guy. Man, insane. So ultimately, failure on the organization. The Mavericks are terrible at this. Terrible. So bad at this, it hurts. In terms of like anything with offseason free agency, you've got nothing. Well, you don't get a trade exception. Nothing.
I remember when we were watching the 18-19 season, back when we were working together, and you at that point were already saying like, "Oh, Luke is going to leave," and I was like, "Dude, how? Like, you need to live in the moment and enjoy this. How can you be so sure that Luke is going to leave?" Because as you said, CBA sets it up for these smaller market teams to retain their stars because they can offer them more money. They had one of the only recent lifetime players. It's like, it was Duncan and it was Dirk who actually stayed, and Kobe. Those are the
and three I think stayed I said that their also entire because careers. We were spoiled so like, with Dirk.
So Luka could theoretically still have that. And it's just like, well, sort of like a second tier player like Brunson is not going to stick around if he's going to get paid to go to a bigger market.
Oh, I think he froze on you. Look at that picture. Ow! Look at that face.
Look at that.
Look how into it he is, though.
I thought he was just being very, like, pensive and intense, waiting to figure out how he wanted to respond to that.
I love how focused he was, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was into that one, though. Right. You know, getting into that.
Looking like what Professor X is, like, you know, trying to read into people's minds. There it is.
Was I frozen like this?
Yeah,
you were frozen like this.
It was fantastic.
That is insane. But I also think I'm getting Dallas fans think people stay for 21 years, you know, without agents. And it's like, no, people leave. Have you seen Slovenia? It's gorgeous. Why would he stay? Have you been to Dallas? It's not. Like, it categorically is an ugly city. Like, there's nothing. Like, it's just space. Like, there's no Lake Michigan. There's no Lakeshore Drive. There's nothing. And so, I'm just ready for it. You know, I'm preparing for myself. But who knows? They went to the West Conference Finals, so it could be worse.
Yeah. I think if they have shown, though, that they're willing to give up everybody except Luka. I mean, they all showed up in his home country together. Coach, owner, everybody showed up. Equipment manager, everybody came over on that flight to make sure he's okay. So I think they're doing a great job making sure he's priority number one. But, you know, teams are calling. You know, I've been doing that free agency. You know those Lakers are calling. You know those Heat are calling. No,
the Heat. That's a word of it. I need Pat Riley to like get dementia or something. Like, I need that. God damn. I don't need
Charlie
to die.
In the comments believes that the Heat are going to be the ones who end up getting Mitchell because Pat Riley. And, you know, I think that's certainly still possible.
But doesn't Ainge hate Riley? Like, isn't there some sort of weird, like, they won't get, like, that's what I heard, like, one reason the Heat are not, because, like, Ainge is just like, I just don't want to deal with them.
Right. Yeah, I heard that somewhere too. And there's also the whole like they're putting it out there that the Jazz want 8 picks for him or 7 picks for him.
8.
Yeah, the Heat don't have that.
Ainge.
They just don't. Yeah,
I love Ainge. Ainge is just a roller coaster tycoon. Like, he just is like burning it down. Like, he comes in and just trades Paul Pierce. Like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love it. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
But like those tycoon. Those picks and that massive trade that sent, you know, Paul Pierce and KG to Brooklyn, like, set the Celtics up for this beautiful stretch of, you know, home drafted talent that they have right now.
They got Tatum as a result, right?
I think they could beat him.
Here's a question I have for you guys. You guys have probably talked about this. I haven't listened to every episode, but I have been listening pretty regularly.
Thank you.
Because it's just nice to hear your voices.
No.
What were the Bulls offering that caused Minnesota to do this? Because Minnesota doesn't give five first rounds if they're not bidding against someone. And it had to be the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
A lot of different people were talking about the Bulls being very involved in those Gobert talks. Like the most common thread line was like, well, Patrick Williams or no Patrick Williams, and Minnesota certainly insisted upon Patrick Williams. But then even if the Bulls were hypothetically willing to do that, then they also could not send picks to Minnesota until to Utah until 2025, 2027. No, I'm sorry, 2027, 2029.
Oh.
Because we've got the second of the Vooch first rounders going to Orlando, 23. Then a gap, you know, step and rule. Then 25 is the DeMar sign and trade that we got to send one to San Antonio. So the Bulls picks that they have in the cupboard right now are 27 and 29.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think that's right. It just kind of came for me. It just came down to Patrick Williams. And I've said numerous times on the show, and you probably heard it, John, since you listen so regularly, that there's no way they would trade in Patrick Williams. No. I just didn't see
you
it at all. Like,
he's the fourth. It has to be, don't trade him. Yeah.
Yeah. The only person that I was like, they'll trade him, was like Kevin Durant. I'm like, oh yeah, he'll go for that. You know what I mean? They'll let, he can go. Like, we'll pack up Patrick and his friends and whoever else he wants to come with him to go to get Kevin Durant. But they weren't going to do that for Rudy Gobert. Like, they just weren't. But I think that they were really close. And in my head, they took that to Minnesota and told them how close they were. And Minnesota came with a sledgehammer right after that. Like, look, here, we'll give you all of this. And you know, Danny Ainge loves picks. He showed that in Boston, man, and what he could turn. He loved some picks. So that's hard to turn down. Minnesota had the better deal. I wouldn't have given that up for Rudy Gobert, so I'm not mad the Bulls didn't do that trade or anything like that. But that's
why I keep giving up two picks for Rudy Gobert.
They went for it, right. The Bulls went for it, and that's why I keep trying to say the Bulls were trying to get better and go all in, as people keep saying. Like, they were. They tried, and they just weren't going to give up Patrick Williams for it to do it, though.
Because, I mean, if you think about this, how does this move the needle – aggressively for Minnesota in the West?
Well, you have to, if you're a Minnesota fan, you have to think of like a generation of being the worst, right? Like you've only won one playoff, only one time, one year you'd got out of the first round ever.
Yeah.
Like 2004, never got the first round. And so I think you have to kind of like, it's going to move the needle. They're going to definitely be better. They're going to be better. Denver's going to be better. Like, I think the Kings, like, I think a lot of teams are getting better. I don't know if it makes them top six, which is what you need. Yeah. But I think definitely, you know, and you think Edwards is the real deal, right?
Right. And maybe that's kind of what they're thinking. Like, they have Towns in his prime. Edwards is still ascending into his prime. He's not even there yet. And then you add in, a bona fide, you know, DPOY perennial kind of guy in Gobert, with your other complimentary pieces to say, hey, like, at least this is a move that can keep us in the picture in the West after, like you said, like, it's just been irrelevant for most of their existence. So bad.
And Carl Anthony Towns' problem was staying on the floor because he kept fouling people. So now he doesn't have to foul the guy. Like, now Rudy gets it. And I feel like that was the issue in the playoffs. Do you remember him saying goodbye when they lost? Like, him coming out goodness. And being like, and he had like 7-6. Like, it was like Princess Diana died or something. Like, it was crazy. Right. Like, and it's like, you had the worst series. Like, you were so bad. Man.
Dude, what do you... That do you think so he'll funny. Be good at the four? Do you like Carl Anthony Towns?
Yes, he should be a four. He is a four. Okay. He is an absolute four. And if he thinks he's the best shooting big man, you got to be a four. Like,
that's true.
Like, I just don't think he's that guy. I just think, and I you know what?
He's never seemed very interested in doing the dirty work stuff that Gobert does.
Yeah.
Yes, and Rudy is at, like, I do think basketball IQ wise is really good. Like, I think he automatically becomes one of the smartest guys on their team. Like, I think he's really smart. And I think that was him and Donovan. Like, I think he got frustrated because Donovan wasn't trying on defense, and it was driving, and he was always having to be the backup. Super annoying.
Yeah. And he was getting those fouls too because of that. You're right.
John, I need your take on Andre Drummond and Goran Dragic.
Love
a lot of Bulls fans are thinking, really? What? That's it? Huh? Why?
Because your team was, because we need to see what this team is, because it was first place team before the injuries. It's Lonzo Ball coming back is going to be, if he comes back, Caruso, like, so let's Goran, genius move. Absolutely genius. He was so good. They got swept in the playoffs, keep in mind. However, that was not a typical sweep. Like, every game was kind of close except for one. You know, like, it was, and he was their second or third best option. Like, not off the bench, just best scoring option. Drummond's fine, right? Like, Drummond, he's better than Tristan Thompson minutes. And that's kind of what you have to think of him as. Like,
Anthony Bradley.
The fact he's 28 is the funniest thing to me. I thought he was 100. I thought, if you would have told me he was 100 years old, I'd be like, yeah, that seems reasonable. Like, the fact that he's like 28 is like so, like, he's not even, he's so, he's so young.
Right.
Yes. He's the age that Julia Roberts agreed to get married to Dermot Mulroney in My Best Friend's Wedding. Like, he's so young. He's 28. I think they're great. And I think we didn't make a big splash, but who made it? Like, what splash? There's no splashes anymore. Like,
DeJounte, like Atlanta going all in and you know, giving up some serious draft capital to pair DeJounte Murray with Trae Young.
Three picks. That's great. Three picks is huge. Three picks without giving out Collins is pretty awesome. I can't believe they have to give out Collins. But, like, yeah, Murray would have been really great. But we have, I don't know, we have five guards. Let's run the back. Let's see what we have. The big thing was your big fish is LaVine. I think people forget that, too. That was the big, that's a huge free agent signing. He could have gone anywhere and he didn't. And so, was it flashy? No, but is the team better? Yes. I think about the minutes they're taking. Like,
yes.
I think I truly think, and you got Pat Williams back. Like, that alone is like, defensively.
What, he missed like 70 games last year.
And he's, what is he, 20?
He's still 20. Shout out to our guy, Mark K. He is still 20 for another like 35 days.
I can't get over that. When people say that, I'm like, that's insane. Like, because COVID seems longer, right? So he was like that 2020 COVID draft, and you're right, oh god. But yeah, I think what team?
He's younger than Ayo. He's like a year younger than Ayo.
Oh, and Terry's such a good pickup. Like,
What do you think of Dalen Terry?
I love him. And again, my Arizona buddy immediately at the draft was like, that's the steal. He's awesome, and he's a big like Arizona hoops guy. He did not text me that when Josh Green was drafted. And then I also think Marco showed that he's ready to play.
Oh, like, you think so? Just to play at least from his summer league game?
To show up and play a little bit. I don't think I think he can. I mean, even if you're scoring 30 points a game, you're like, give him the ball. I feel like let him go in, especially if we have injuries.
I mean, it's summer league.
It's 30 though, 28. Right. Like,
but you got to remember, like, he's third center, so that means he literally will get a couple of minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it won't be we're dependent 15 on him or anything like that. But yeah, he did enough, and I agree with that. He did enough to be like, okay, here goes a couple minutes. You know, I think I'll give you a couple over Tony Bradley. You know what I mean? Like, I'll do that. So yeah, he get a couple minutes, and we'll see. You know what he does, and if he does well, cool. If he doesn't, well, you know, there's a G League right there waiting on you.
Yes. You got to improve. Play cards with the roster. Like, get to know each other. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like let's build some of that. But I think the Bulls got better. Like, and people are coming back from injury. I think Lonzo is the thing that I feel like is really weighing people down. And because it requires a starting point guard.
Yeah. Just like an absolutely massive what if / wild card / X factor / variable. What is Lonzo going to look like, and when will he be ready? He is so vital to this team, which is like, you know, some might say like not ideal if Lonzo not being there is the difference between your team being the number one seed and being bounced in five out of the first round. Because that seems like a crazy spread of just one, you know, not all-star, but plays great in his role player like Lonzo.
Well, it's because you didn't have a point guard after him. I think this what was the key of that, Matt, too. Like, you had guys who could just fill in the role and do certain things at that position. But that's what, again, why Gordon Dragic is going to be so important if he's healthy out there, because just putting in a point guard who actually knows how to run things is very important for the Bulls, because when they had somebody who was out there who was just running things, you saw what it looked like, and it looked solid. So, yeah, just that's why he's important to me, Gordon Dragic. Not even his scoring, even though that's big, that he's a good three-point shooter, especially from the corners. Then he shot 35 from the right and 42 from the left. So that's important. But it's just the fact that he can actually set up the offense, put guys in position, get somebody the ball correctly, run the rotations, you know what I'm saying, and do those kind of things. Because Io is not – that's not his strength. Caruso, that's not his strength. Kobe, we know that definitely ain't his strength. So we just needed a guy that could do that and then kind of put everybody in their place. And yeah, he could probably do that.
I like this comment from Old Buckness. Shout out to him, who said, remember a couple years ago when the conversation about a player's health in the offseason we were having was about Denzel. I like where the Bulls are now. God, there's some nice perspective.
Yes, you know, light years.
Do you know how many players that we had to watch that aren't in the league anymore?
Yes. Yes.
But hey, Antonio Blakeney is about to play in Bobby Portis' charity game.
Luke Kornet got re-signed by your Eastern Conference champs again.
Oh, man.
Freak on the league.
Isn't that some Boston Celtics shit right there? Dude. Like, yeah. Signing Luke Kornet.
I can't believe that he was on that. And then, like, if it was a blowout win or a blowout loss, any time you saw Kornet check it in with like 3 minutes to go in the fourth, I don't know about you guys, but I was always like, Luke!
He got a finals dunk. He dunked in the finals. He had a breakaway dunk in a finals game. And it was like a decent dunk. And I was like, go get him, freak on a leash. Go get him.
Oh, man. But yeah, John, we try to keep that perspective for Bulls fans too, to let them know, like, no, man, we remember where we were and what we dealt with. Because when we were doing this show, when we were doing Outsiders on that, man, that's exactly where we were. We're sitting there watching trash basketball game.
I mean, it's so funny.
And watching the team break each one of us at a particular point in time in the season. And it usually went Matt, John, and me. Yeah. And that's usually how to break it.
I was like, game three. I was like,
right.
Done.
Papa Bear, Mama Bear, Baby Bear. It truly was. Like, it really was. Like, it was in that order. And then, like, it also happened. You could also transverse that into the game. Like, 2 minutes into the game, 8 minutes into the game, halftime. Like, you know, like, yep. It was like. Well, here's a question for you guys to spin on this. What East teams got better? So, like, I would say, like, the Sixers obviously got better. Mm-hmm. The Knicks probably got better. Mm-hmm. The Wizards stayed the same.
Yeah, basically just like kept Beal. The Heat, you could argue, got worse with the absence of PJ Tucker. Yeah. Like, you could actually get that 100%. Argument.
And Lowry's older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boston got better, for sure. Boston got better.
I want to keep talking about these East teams. Then we'll also have a similar conversation about what's going on with John's Mavs and the West as far as balance of power. But first, today's episode brought to you by one of our newest sponsors here at CHGO. It's FOCO, Chicago sports fans, your home for the best Chicago sports coverage. That's us, CHGO, is partnering with a leader in sports merchandise and collectibles. CHGO's teamed up with FOCO to secure your access to the best collectibles and gear around. Whether it's Bears, Cubs, Sox, Blackhawks, Bulls, FOCO will have something for you, your kid, John's gloves, John's kids' gloves, any loved ones out there that you're looking for a great gift for. Looking to get some new gear, collectibles, or accessories? FOCO has officially licensed gear for men, women, kids, people of all ages and sizes, with everything from bobbleheads to swimsuits to Crocs. Their summer attire inventory is awesome. There's so many different kinds, like Bears swimsuits and like sandals and towels. Go stock up because it's really cool. I've already made a couple of purchases. I can't wait for them to get here. FOCO has got you covered with the best Chicago merch of your favorite team. So head on over to FOCO.com. That's FOCO.com to use promo code CHGO at checkout. And if you do that, you're going to get 10% off all non-presale items. That's promo code CHGO at FOCO, FOCO.com. 10% off with promo code CHGO.
FOCO.
Yeah. So do you guys see the East changing aggressively in any way as far as how, after 82 games, it stacked up seeding wise and then the team that was left standing? Do you guys see Boston as the favorites to win the East again, come back in, or does the pieces that they've added around Harden and Embiid over in Philly, do you think that catapults them to be the favorites to claim the top seed? Do you think Miami still has a shot? Where do the Bulls fall in that picture?
I think, well, to answer the last part first, I think the Bulls are like fifth, personally. I don't think they're in the top four. But I do think they're fifth. And if they get in the top four, awesome. That would be great. I'll be ecstatic. But as far as those teams, I mean, yeah, I mean, Boston, I think, is the easy answer here because they didn't do anything to get worse. You know, they just gained experience getting to a finals and going against Steph Curry and what, and they know what that kind of feels like. And so coming back this year, they could be more focused on that. And they got some better players around them too. You know, getting Brock is crazy. And then
Danilo,
yes. Getting those two pieces is just really, really good. You know what I mean? For that, for a team that's already really, really good. So now you've added some weapons on offense and you still have that incredible defense that they already had. So I don't think they did anything to get worse. And yeah, it's just a mental thing with them now. So, but Philly is definitely an issue and they're definitely going to be a problem. Embiid, we know what he is. Harden, a motivated James Harden, who feels like he's coming back to actually prove something to people this season. That could be interesting to watch, but getting PJ Tucker is a big piece, honestly. That's a big piece for them, man. It adds some real toughness for that team that I think they needed. But also, what's my man name, dude? Oh, God, from Kentucky. The guy who was just killing for them, Maxey.
Oh, Tyrese Maxey?
Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal basketball player, man. He is so awesome, awesome, awesome. So I think he's going to be a huge piece for them as well, man. But yeah, so I think those teams – I'll keep Miami at probably at, you know, three or four, because I do think losing PJ Tucker hurts them and putting Duncan Robinson in that lineup does kind of, yeah, there's a reason he got taken out, you know, that lineup, you know what I mean? But
the asterisk here is what we were just talking about. Do they have Donovan Mitchell at the start of the season?
Big asterisk. Yeah. They get Mitchell. Yeah. It's no question they're top three.
They're not getting Mitchell. They don't have things for Mitchell.
It's Pat Riley. Never say never. He's like Emperor Palpatine, but for the NBA.
With like signings, not with trades, though. Like, I feel like, especially with Ainge, like him, I just feel like I don't know what they have. Like, no one wants Tyler Herro.
When Donovan Mitchell is a Miami Heat taking the court for game one of 82, we can all revisit this conversation.
The Knicks have everything they want.
They do. But how Knicks would it be to mess that up?
Yeah, but it's new. It's new.
And I disagree with Al, though. I don't think we're underestimating the Bulls, honestly. I think having them at five, maybe a four, is pretty damn right, because nobody had them at one. You know what I mean? Going into that season, nobody had them there.
We thought play-in would be good.
Right, exactly. We would have been ecstatic with a play-in, you know what I'm saying? But then it got to the point like, well, play-in is unacceptable. We see what you all are. Play-in is completely unacceptable for this team. Mm-hmm. So now the things have changed for them. So expecting a five seed from them and then saying you can get four or better, I think that's right where exactly the Bulls' prediction should be. And some people might call it an overestimation of that team saying that. Say, no, you know, they are who they were in the second half of the season. They didn't do these, this, and this. But I think they're right there, man. The Bulls are really, really good. And I can't wait to watch this, man. Seriously.
The other crazy wild card in the East is what the hell are the Brooklyn Nets going to do and what the hell are the Brooklyn Nets going to be? Because let's all recall that the Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, for a while James Harden, and some of the best role player guys in the league, Patty Mills, Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, who has now departed. By the way, super low-key, amazing addition for Denver, Bruce Brown. But
great.
What do you think is going to happen with Kevin Durant, with Kyrie Irving, and what do you want to see happen from an entertainment perspective? You're probably over here sitting here saying, whatever you do, stay in the East. Kevin Durant to come back.
I don't get Kevin Durant. You have no leverage. You have 4 years. You don't even have a player option. You don't have an option. Like, they're going to run it back because there's nothing that you like. Unless I don't know why the Pelicans or the Oklahoma City Thunder just don't go for it. Like, I don't know why they don't. And I think that's why it feels like the East is kind of going to be easier than last year, because I think it's the Nets that feel like were such a juggernaut. They were predicted to win the finals at the end of the season, right? Like, at the end of this last season, they were like, Nets had the best Vegas odds before all of this. Man, but can you imagine that team if they just never traded for Harden and they kept Jared Allen and had Spencer Dinwiddie and LeVert and just like kept it. That would be like an unbelievable. That team would be a really good team. That'd be a dynasty team. Like, and so I don't think he's going to Phoenix after this Ayton thing. I don't know how they make it happen. I don't know why he gets to call a shot. Like, you'll go where we tell you to go. You have 4 years. And if I'm, what's his name, who runs the Pelicans, what's that guy's name? I would just unload the bag for him and just give him Ingram and 8 picks and see how it goes.
You'd send Ingram. I feel like that's most of what people have been talking about in trade packages, hypothetically, for Durant and New Orleans, is Ingram, not Zion.
Oh, yeah, you keep Zion for sure. And if I'm the Nets, I want Ingram over Zion. Because at least I know what I'm getting. And then I still get the picks. And he's still under 24. And if you can keep Herb Jones, you got a defensive wing. I just think you've never paid the luxury tax as a franchise if you're the Pelicans. So, you don't care about winning. Show your fans you care about winning and go get it, because you could totally win it with, I think, CJ, Zion, KD, and whatever. I think that's good enough to get to the conference finals.
You think David Griffin would pull that?
I don't think he would. And I don't know if it's an age thing or if it's like a timeline we want, or if it's Zion has to be the man, but I don't think Zion wants to be the man. CJ McCollum got Zion to resign. If they don't trade for CJ McCollum, Zion doesn't get that contract. I think Kevin Durant's a net and they just run it back. And they try to do midseason or do that next season.
And Kyrie Irving is a basket weaver in some other random country.
He's a net for sure. And also, you're getting paid $30 million? What are you doing? You're fine. This is why options exist. You didn't play. If you want to show you that you can play, play a game.
You think Simmons is going to play for Brooklyn this year?
Oh my God, I forgot that guy existed.
Not about Ben, right?
They still got Ben Simmons hanging out.
You morons. Morons. Burn it down. Burn it down. Brooklyn shouldn't. They should lose the Nets name. That's a stupid name. Just go by Brooklyn. This KD thing is so weird, and it hurts. It really hurts. Legacy talk is stupid, but it's super weird that he did this. It's a bummer. It's such a bummer.
It's crazy that the other team that people are talking about now, after the Ayton stuff happened, is okay, Phoenix might be off the table.
Golden State.
Miami, crazy. Maybe Pat Riley could pull it off. Probably not. Golden State. I just saw something from Mark Stein earlier today that's it's probably not going to happen because nobody wants that reunion. There was a report a week ago that's Warriors baby open to that. And then what's his name? Myers is just we're good. We like what we have. No.
Bob Myers, because they love this whole we're light years ahead. We've got the young and the old. So I don't think they would leverage their young because it's something they care about so much. But if you're Kevin Durant, doesn't that kind of help you? Because you're no longer this front runner, you're a Warrior. It's your second time with the Warrior. When you retire, the first clips will be of you as a Warrior. Right now, I still think the first clips of Durant are him as a Thunder, even though he won as a Warrior.
I agree.
And he can say, they traded me. I didn't sign here. They traded me here, and I'm going to go in. I just think it would really help. If I'm him, I would want to go to the Warriors because, we would, view him better, I think. Because we'd be it wouldn't look like a front-running chasing thing his previous sojourn. It would look like, he's just a Warrior. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
He retired a Warrior. That makes sense.
What do you think about the West? Balance of power wise, do you see the Warriors as the odds on
favorites? West is back, baby. West took a brief hiatus last year, abolished the East. West is back. Okay. They've got more talent. I can't even handle it right now. So Denver's going to be really good, right?
Dude. I mean, that team went to the conference finals in the bubble with a healthy Jamal Murray and a healthy, Joker. And they have since added to that core while Murray has been out.
Clippers.
Kawhi.
If John Wall is still good at basketball, holy crap, the Clippers.
If he's better than Reggie Jackson, right?
Hey.
Shout out. Reggie Jackson,
Reggie Jackson
appreciated.
Oh, I'm a Mavs fan. He's an Ish Smith All-Star, dude. He kills the Mavs.
Yes, he is. That's like, my guy.
The Pelicans are better. Memphis is better. Like, I weirdly think Dallas will still be good. Like, we lost Brunson, but we got deeper. I don't understand. Because of injuries, and like, I think Christian Wood is going to be pretty good. I just think the West, you got Ja, there's a lot of guys, right? Like, I think there's a lot of dudes who are the best player when they step on the court in the West.
Right.
They'll have that. Like, unless they play against Giannis. That's it. And
the team we keep forgetting to mention, which is wild, the Lakers.
Are you referring to last season's 11 seed?
Yes, last season's 11 seed Los Angeles Lakers. This is because if they're healthy. This is based on that.
And it's the Lakers, right? Like, they'll pull off some buyout, great player will go, and like, right, that's all they need, right? Like,
right. Oh, Kyrie got bought out. Oh, he's going to the Lakers. What? Yes.
that is out there. Kyrie to the Lakers is still a hypothetical that could happen, according to some people.
Yeah, man.
OKC. OKC is good.
They're going to be fine. Yeah, OKC will be fine.
Yeah, like I just think it's like, I think the talent across both conferences are so high. And I think one of the reasons people are down about the Bulls is because they don't have that one guy, right? Like, on the court, they don't have the guy who's the best player yet, usually. Mm-hmm. But they have like 2 through 8. Like, the depth of talent, I think, on the Bulls is higher than most teams. And I think that gets lost.
Like, but I think they saw that last year, though. We got a glimpse of actually having the best player on the floor in a couple of games. With DeMar DeRozan. So, and we saw it, and we saw it a lot. So the interesting thing for me is going to be, is Zach LaVine can be that guy for a couple games for the Bulls this season. Indeed. That's what's going to be interesting to me to watch and see. I know he's going to be good.
And I mean, he was before the knee.
The
knee started bugging him. He was right there with DeMar in fourth quarter scoring.
And it should be.
Seriously, right there.
It should be.
Leading the league in fourth quarter scoring.
This is true.
Who has the most pressure on them? Don't you love questions like this?
It's definitely Zach.
I think it's Billy Donovan.
Billy.
To figure out how to make that work.
I don't know if coaching is a strength on this team. And when I look at other coaches, a Spoelstra, I don't think, I just don't know if it's, I don't know if he's the, I think the pressure's on him. I really do.
Okay.
Zach made his money. He fine.
There's absolutely truth to that. No, I mean, like, I agree that maybe the game to game and in game prep for this particular opponent coaching could have been better last season. I do believe that. And
I think it's good.
That's never been one of Billy's greatest strengths. And you might even call it a weakness compared to the other things about being an NBA head coach that he's really good at. But I can't believe you think that there's no pressure on Zach.
No, I think there is.
The pressure is 100% on Zach because he just signed this mega, you are a superstar kind of contract. And nobody saw DeMar's performance coming last season.
No one did.
At that height. And so if DeMar's efficiency and DeMar's numbers come down a little bit this year, everybody will look around and probably be like, well, yeah, like, of course. Because what he did last year was like not human. Compared to reasonable expectations for DeMar DeRozan at age 32,
I just rewatched those two.
Zach is still ascending, and he now is ascending on a big ass contract. He's got to deliver.
DeMar was like holding it for him, keeping it warm, saying, "All right, here's your crown. This is not mine, and it shouldn't be." Like if DeMar came off the bench, I wouldn't be shocked. Like,
what were you just saying, John? You watched what back to?
Oh, I just rewatched DeMar's back to back buzzer beaters from the New Year's, whatever.
New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
And they're unbelievable. I mean, they just like, you want to run through a wall after a while. I was like, tires like 3 a.m. with the kid. I was like, someone just retweeted it, and I was like, thank you. This is such a service. Like, those were so cool. Like, that was, remember that feeling?
Yes, do I? Oh, God. So good.
It was insane.
He was bulletproof.
Only the second time in NBA history that somebody had done that. And the other time it was Larry Bird.
Right. And it was the shots that he hit. Both of those shots were really, really difficult. You know what I mean? And contested three-pointers.
Yeah, different kinds of degree of difficulty. Like the Pacers one, I think he just didn't realize how few seconds were left on the clock.
Clearly.
And then he was just like, oh, fuck it. I got to shoot this now. And just heaved up prayer. And then it's double teamed in the corner on the next one.
The double team in the corner.
Threes. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. So, but I think there's a lot of, we should be happy. We didn't, there was, we every year, you're, every 28 teams are mad, right? Every offseason. And we're just one of the 28, I guess. Like, yeah. You know, yeah. Unless you get, even, but I don't know, are Minnesota fans like thrilled about the Gobert getting the big fish? I don't know.
I think they are. I mean, because they're not used to being the center of attention, and they're also not used to being in the playoffs. And that solves two things right yeah. there. They're going to the playoffs.
And by taking Gobert from Utah, that removes one of the teams that finished ahead of Minnesota in the West last season.
It's true.
Utah was the fifth seed.
Yeah.
That, you know, even if they don't trade Donovan Mitchell, that's not a fifth seed anymore.
Yo, that team's trash. That team is trash.
And if they Donovan Mitchell, then for sure that's a trash team.
Get rid of that guy. I don't get it. Like, he's CJ McCollum. I don't get it. He didn't do anything in the playoffs. Nothing.
Yeah. Sadly, we are almost out of time, John, but I wanted your thoughts on one more topic before we get out of here. You mentioned him earlier when we were talking about the Bulls offseason moves and saying, well, you know, yeah, they were also missing Patrick Williams for, you know, basically the entire season. There, I don't know if there's a more divisive topic among Bulls fans right now as far as what Patrick Williams can be and what he needs to be this upcoming season for the Bulls to be more than a one-and-done playoff team. In your eyes, what does Patrick Williams need to be in his third NBA season for the Bulls to be a step better than what they were last year?
I would love to hear your answers. I want to hear y'all's answers too. Like, because he needs to be Patrick Williams. He needs to show up, and we need to see how Patrick Williams plays basketball. He doesn't need to be a defensive stopper. He doesn't need to be a go-to scorer, a Kawhi. He doesn't, like, Stacey King, stop naming players after other players. It's not cosplay. He's Patrick Williams. Let him create his own legacy. He's not tracing art. He's making art. Like, he needs to just show up, and so some games, if he has 6 points, fine. You know, like, give him, he doesn't know how he fits in on this team yet. He hasn't had that, and COVID, drafted during COVID, right? Bubble. He hasn't had any sort of normalcy or any sort of, like, let's see what happens. So just
no training
up.
Camp his rookie year after being drafted because COVID, and then was hurt during training camp last season. Remember, he had the ankle and missed all of training camp, and then just came in like in their last preseason game.
He needs to realize that he's the fourth pick. That's one thing he needs to realize and assert himself. And that's it. Just like, you're the fourth pick. Like, you're not a scrub. Like, you're not some undrafted dude. Like, not many college teams went after him, right? So he still probably has this mentality that, like, he's just happy to be here. Like, you know, he's not like, he wasn't this, like, nationally ranked blue chip guy. He was, but, like, not compared to people in his class.
Right.
Just show up, man. I want to see what Patrick Williams does. Is he a scorer? Is he a facilitator? Is he play? I don't know what he is. Is he a Swiss Army knife? I think he probably, I just want to see. Is he Andre Kirilenko? Does he do a little bit of everything? We don't know.
And I think that's what you said, John, is what I keep saying to people when they talk about Patrick Williams and what he needs to do and what he needs to prove. Nobody ever talks about what he has to do on the court. It's always mental every single time. And you just said it there too. You know what I mean? He has to mentally do this. He has to be aggressive. Those are mental things that he's got to do to improve on the floor. So I'm not worried about his game because obviously he's got that. We've seen that. And that's why people want so much out of him, because we've seen it. We're like, damn, dude, you got it. Like, okay, let's just let the mind catch up with the body. And I think that's what we're going to see this year. And again, this is why I think Daylen Terry was so important. As important as DeMar DeRozan is to Patrick Williams, I think Daylen Terry is just as important to him, because he's going to push that dude. And he's going to get on his nerves. And they talked about it when they practiced in training camp, how him and Patrick Williams were going at it, just jawing at each other, you know what I mean? Just going at it, though, and playing ball together. And Patrick was very aggressive in doing that. So I think that having a guy like Daniel Terry, who's going to keep them accountable, hold those guys accountable, even as a rookie, he's going to be doing this stuff, yelling at dudes, talking to them, getting them hyped, you know what I mean, doing those things. Patrick Williams needs that kind of stuff, man. And, yeah, I think – that's what it is. When his mental catches up with the physical, and I expect to see it this year, I think he's going to be a beast.
I love it. His age, right? It'd be weird if he was 19 saying, listen to me. That's weird.
I don't know. I was pretty opinionated at 19. What about you?
That's true, but it's like DeMar. That's like DeMar DeRozan's, right? Like, you know, like,
yeah,
no, to other 19-year-olds.
I think he's spent a good portion of his summer thus far working out with DeMar DeRozan and giving DeMar DeRozan yes sirs and no sirs. At least that's what we're hearing. Yes, so
I need him to get the skyline. That's what I need. Also, a tattoo of the Chicago skyline.
Farm, like right here, mm-hmm.
Right, or like 312 or something. I need like a Chicago tattoo.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Speaking of which, how old will JBB when he gets his first Chicago and or Bulls related tattoo?
Well, again,
you're gonna make him wait till he's 18.
If he has his mother's body, he has a racist body. He can't ever get a tattoo. Like, guys with my body who have tattoos, you're like, oh, it's probably like a bad one. You know what I mean? Like, it's like
you just left prison, but we're welcomed into the Aryan Nation, like in prison.
Exactly. You look sick and pale. Like, you can't get, you know.
He got a Remy in higher learning.
Like, yeah, yeah, yes.
Oh, dude, speaking of, I don't know if we've talked about this yet, even in our text thread. Fucking Chris Birdman Anderson at Summer League. John, did you see what he...
Dude,
he saw it amazing. Live.
And I just, then I went on a deep dive. I Googled, like, I saw it and someone was like, what happened to him? Shake my head. And I was like, wait, what happened to him? And I thought it was a drug thing. He got catfished real bad.
Like, yeah,
child,
really?
He got child porn catfished.
Yes.
And he was like completely, but because he was Chris Birdman, people like assumed he was guilty. It, like, it ruined his life. And so like, I'm glad he's back. But I was like, poor Chris Birdman. I never heard that story. He looks great.
Dude, it's a whole thing they did on Dateline about it. And it was incredible, man.
Some Canadian woman.
From some Canadian woman just in Canada, never leaves her house or anything. Like, they went and found her. It was crazy. So
in Canada,
Chris Birdman looked like Chris Birdman. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, yeah, that's what you look like. You know, like, yeah. I love that he's not like in a suit. You know, he's just like wearing a tank top, tucked in jeans.
He was bursting out of like Bruce Banner style. Oh my god!
And it's still like. It's still like the style of the early 2000s, you know, like it's still like crazy town. Like, it's like, oh, come on, man. Like he's dressed like a Hardy Boy. Like, it's crazy.
He's in crazy town.
But I was like, I know when you were drafted. I know when you were drafted.
It's references like that make us love when John Sabon stops by. John, thank you so much for hanging out with us today on our Friday episode. We appreciate it. We miss you.
Thank you.
Follow John on Twitter at jsabon214 for all of his NBA takes and all of his non-NBA takes, which are just as good, if not better. John, don't be a stranger, all right? Can you do me one little favor with your little baby boy?
Yes.
In the rotation of the nursery rhymes and whatever else you're doing when you're singing to him and trying to get him to fall asleep, just do one rendition, one verse of Only the Bulls somewhere in there.
I will.
Until he's big enough to wear the Bulls onesie that Uncle Mac got for him.
I think it's going to be soon. I definitely will. I'll give him one. And to wake him up, I sing Overtime.
Oh, 100 miles an hour?
Yeah.
100 miles an hour.
That's such an aggressive wake-up song.
He gets all jacked up.
On that Mountain Dew.
Don't let that baby dance in the fire, John. He's too young.
You know, he can take you higher.
All right, y'all. Follow us on Twitter, CHGO_Bulls. Dave's at Balby at WL Sports. I'm Bulls_Peck. Shout out and thanks to our pal and our producer, Joey, working things behind the scenes on today's episode. Enjoy your weekend, Bulls Nation. Should be some nice weather tonight, although it looks like maybe a storm's coming in. Either way, I could do for some cool weather. It's too hot. Too damn hot.
Yeah, stay in the house.
Stay inside. Stay in the house. We'll be back on Monday with another fresh podcast episode for you guys, and we've got some more fun stuff planned for next week, including taking a look at some of these other teams in the East more specifically and what they did to get better this offseason. Sizing up the competition starts next week. For Big Dave and John and Joey, Peck. See Red be good.